Welcome to Good Morning Paranormal. Good Morning Paranormal is brought to you by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. With host Mike Baker from Crossroads Paranormal Radio and different radio host personalities from the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network lineup, we're bringing you the lighter side of the paranormal. Now that you've found us, kick back, relax, and enjoy for the next 2 hours. Good Morning Paranormal.
All right. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. I am joined today by Danielle Garrison and Tom Carr. How are you guys doing this morning?
Morning.
Morning. Doing pretty good.
So what you're saying, yes, it is morning, right?
Yes. Last time I checked.
Yeah, early morning.
Sun's up.
We don't have that. Denny said she had it up there, but ours is overcast right now, so which is the way I like it early in the morning because, you know, I got light blue eyes, and that bright light just kills me.
It's the vampire in you.
Is that what it is? It could be because, it's rough in the morning trying to get the eyes pried open, and you got this big yellow thing staring at you. Oh, I hear EVP.
Oh, sorry. That's a two-year-old. That is an EVP.
What is your name?
That's a two-year-old. It's not EVP. There's nothing unusual about a two-year-old talking. It's early in the morning. At least she's not singing.
That'd even be better, you know? All right.
So you said you had some stuff for today?
Yeah, I got a couple. Hang on just a minute. I'm trying to... I got a couple. Well, if I can get them to come up. Couple of announcements for events that are getting ready to go on, and one of them I can't get up, so I might not be able to get both of them. I was going to talk about the American Paranormal Conference. That will be, see if I can get it to come up this time. My computer is not one to cooperate. I had it all up, and it decided no, it's too early. So we'll see what we got here. See if I can get this. There we go. I think I got this one.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm not sure yet.
I know of the.
All right, here we go. I got this one. Hold up. Don't hold me up. I may not be able to last it long. American Paranormal Conference, which is here in Indiana, that will be held in Fort Wayne at the Scottish Rite Auditorium on October 9th through the 11th. 2009. The proceeds from this event will benefit Masonic charities, including Shriners Hospital for Children, and a donation also will be made to the Fort Wayne Children's Zoo. So a couple of very good causes there. These people put on a conference earlier this year, and we were going to go, and unfortunately at the last minute, Chris's work contacted us, said, no, you must go out of town and work, so you cannot go and play. So we didn't. But from everything we heard, it went real well, and so they are having another one now, and we're hoping to go. We don't know, so I'm going to try to see who's going to be there real quick if my computer allows this operation. Here we go. Special guests include and are not limited to Robbie Thomas. He'll be there and talking. Keith Age as well. Nick Ryder, who is a... He's a scientist at a solar photovoltaic research center in Toledo, Ohio. Lauren Coleman, who is a leading cryptozoologist. Chris Dedman, who's been making rounds lately, doing some appearances and talking. Michael Esposito, who was born in Gary, Indiana. Maybe right there with Mr. Michael Jackson. I don't know. And he is... they're bringing him on to talk about EVP. Let's see who else. Christy Robinette, will be there. Madeline Ault, Wanda Lou Willis, of course. Wanda still making her rounds. And Jason Sullivan. And so there may be a few other things. But so that's October 9th till the 11th in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Like I said, it should be a good time. So if you're in the area, don't have anything to do October 9th through 11th, that would be the place to be.
Now, I know about one that's in Arizona on September 21st and 22nd, I think.
Okay.
Brian, I can't say his last name, from Taps, supposed to be there.
Oh, Harnois?
Yeah. Okay. Harnois.
Harnois.
I'm trying to get the information. Here, Haunted Con. It looks like it's September 24th in Arizona. And if you have Brian as a friend on Facebook, the information's there. Should be an interesting one. Still there?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
All of a sudden, it just went quiet. Always freaks me out when I'm doing the show and it just goes quiet.
I know it does.
Brings back horrible memories of Blog Talk.
Nah, we don't, you know, as you know by now, you should know that we don't have a lot of that kind of issues. We do have a little bit with the Skype stuff. And, of course, I'm using a crappy set of headphones today. Thanks to my lovely cats who have destroyed two of my better pairs.
You know what you do with those cats.
Felt the need to chew. I'm sitting there, we were doing a show here a couple weeks ago, and all of a sudden, like you just said, everything went silent. It's like, I'm looking around, you know, like all the controls, my mixer board, the computer, I was looking, it's like, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, I pulled on my cord, and guess what? I pulled the end up. The rest of it was missing. So, nice. In the middle of the show here, I'm rambling, trying to find something to stick in my ears so I can hear what was going on. Yeah, they've decided to destroy a couple of them. The other one, and I cannot get it up, it's going to be in Ohio. It's put on by Miami Town Ghost Tours, and I think they're calling it Miami Town Paranormal Fest. It's a free event, if I remember from reading it. And I want to think, and if I get the dates wrong, I apologize. We'll make it up on one of the other shows. It's going to be in October. I think it's, let me see if I can pull a calendar up here real quick, because I cannot get, I can't get the calendar up either. So it's in October. I think it's the second weekend in October. I'll get more details of that once I get my computer to play well.
You know, I'm going to kick out of these groups that are doing cons in October.
Yeah, kind of a bad month.
It's the busiest time of year for me. Uh-huh. I have no time to go to a con in October.
Then someone in the chat room was asking a few minutes ago, and I told him I would go over that. About here now. Okay, tonight on ASPRN, along with our regular shows that have been playing, which is Midwest Paratalk at 10 o'clock, or 9 o'clock now, and the Starlight Show after Midwest Paratalk. We have a brand new show starting tonight called Supernatural Rising, and that is being hosted by Serenity Moore and Nicole Leader.
What time is that? Oh, that's
That is what? At 9 p.m.
What, Eastern?
Yes. And their first guest on their first show is going to be Mr. John Zaffis. So that should be an outstanding show. So brand new to ASPR on tonight, Supernatural Rising with host Serenity Moore and Nicole Leader. And the guest tonight. Oh my God, this computer's affecting me now. Will be Mr. John Zaffis. So
we've got them.
Yeah, we got Supernatural Rising at 9.
What is that, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard?
According to them, they have 7 p.m. because she's in Utah. She has 7 down here, Tom. Thursday night, 7 p.m. Mountain Time.
It's not Thursday. It's Wednesday.
Oh, hell, I don't even know what day of the week it is, do I?
Okay. You got me really confused there for a second. I'm like, okay, am I getting preempted here? What's going on?
You've been fired, Tom. You've been fired.
I knew it was coming, God. But man.
Okay.
You could at least send me an email.
Good morning, paranormal. All right, let's back the trolley up. What do you think? Let's start okay. all over.
Yeah,
tonight.
Good Morning Paranormal's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Mike.
Oh, you know, all this overtime's killing me. I should not do a morning show with all this overtime going on. So Wednesday nights, this is Wednesday, right?
Yes, it is Wednesday.
Wednesday night. First up, we have Miami Town Ghost Radio, which is on at, I believe, 8 o'clock. And then following right after them is Paranormal Outreach Radio with Crystal and Mike and Matt. And then right after them is, who we got?
Some crazy idiots.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Look for ninjas.
The guy that's bald and his daughter is combing his hair. Now, Residual Hauntings Live will be on right after Paranormal Outreach Radio tonight. And then tomorrow, I've already given you the rundown, but I told him I would plug up the new show since I was a little behind getting the information on the website for them. So try to help them out. Not that they'll probably need much help.
I'm going to be sorry. I'm going to miss their first show. I'm going camping tomorrow night.
Yeah,
so.
And that's the way with me. I can't, you know, I hate it. We got these great shows coming on. And I can't make them to listen to them. You know, Chris insists that I work. So.
Well, and Serenity's a good friend of mine.
Right.
So.
Well, she's out there right where you are, too.
Yeah, so. Well, I'll have to catch her next week.
So that's the information. Kids, go ahead.
I was going to say, kids start school next week, so.
Yeah.
And I have investigations all weekend, so I'm taking them camping Thursday night.
There you go. So that's the news I had today. So maybe you guys got a little something better than I do.
Well, my group is going to be doing a presentation for a local radio station on the 29th here in Salt Lake. And I'm going to try to broadcast from there. One of the local morning DJ groups do a slumber party. It's an all-women's kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they, you know, go and get manicures and do whatever women do. And I'm hoping a couple of lapel fights start, but, you know, that's just me. So we're going to be there from 6 to midnight on the 29th, and we're going to be doing a little presentation on ghost hunting, playing some EVPs and stuff. So me and a bunch of the girls from my group are going to be there. So
Tom and
I'm
girl.
Hoping I'm going to get some dollar bills thrown at me, all these women. I don't know how to handle all these women,
oh,
you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
so that's about the only thing I've got going with my group right now, and then, you know, like you guys, probably in October, we're starting to.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna start doing news interviews and stuff in September to be played in October. So.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I am just getting these headphones are just driving me crazy. Danny, I don't know if we got anything going on or not. Do we?
Not too much. I know that the group up here is getting ready to do an out of town. Investigation. I think they moved it to September though, because nobody could really pick a good weekend this month. So I'm not sure where they're investigating yet, but they're getting ready to go out of town to do a big investigation.
Very cool.
Yeah, we're going to do a 120 or 130 year old house on Friday night.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah. It'll be the oldest residential we've ever done.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah. I heard some interesting stories about the place.
Huh.
And then we did a really cool old factory here in Utah 2 weekends ago. It's an old cheese factory in a little town called Richmond, Utah.
Richmond.
And Richmond? Yeah, Richmond. I had to think there. There's Richfield and Richmond.
Uh-huh.
I get them confused all the time. But a really fun time. An awesome place. I mean, the building's pretty much barely holding on. But had a good time. And the owners of that are... Well, one of the owners is a pretty regular listener to our show. Or of the six people that listen, he's one of them. Had some really interesting activity and had a good time.
Huh. Awesome.
So did you guys get to watch Primetime on ABC last night? The Outsiders, I'm sorry.
No, was that on?
It was. It was. They were talking about Abducted by Aliens, Believers Tell Their Stories. It was pretty interesting.
And it's called what, The Outsiders?
It was just a special and yeah, it was called The Outsiders, and it was on primetime ABC last night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Wow.
People that have been abducted by aliens, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. They had
how many of the US people Marine. Had? I was going to say, how many of those people had pulled all their teeth?
You know what? There was a couple of them that they were showing that did not have their teeth, which was pretty funny. You know,
I have to say.
But there was one or two that looked pretty legitimate, and it was pretty interesting stories. And they also had, of course, the other side of the case, which was the psychologists and things like that were coming through, and that they were saying that, of course, everything can be explained by sleep paralysis disorder. And I think she did a pretty good job of being skeptical and showing both sides of the story. So it was pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can watch that on, like, Hulu or, you know, online or something.
Yeah.
I love watching the alien abduction shows, because it's always like, well, I was out in the cornfield, and they brought lights on me.
Oh, I know.
They took my whiskey, but I'm feeling better now.
I like to listen to the abduction stories, too. It's like, some of them are like, oh, you've got to be, do you actually believe that? You're telling a story.
Yeah, there's some people who believe with everything that they are. It's pretty funny.
Huh. And God bless them, but I've always found, too, that it's interesting that the UFO group and the ghost hunting group are like mortal enemies.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't understand it, but it's like we hate each other's guts. And I don't know why. Because we're both nuts.
Yeah. I would have to agree.
I mean, come on, let's face it. We sit alone in the dark talking to ourselves. That right there would lock us in an asylum.
You know, but I keep saying this over and over and over again. You know, every cryptozoologist I'm going to ask from now on, and every ufologist I'm going to ask from now on, are you guys sure you're not looking for their ghosts?
Yeah, I've had some interesting conversations with people that are into the UFO. Now, I've met a couple of people that are into the UFO and into the ghost hunting.
Yeah.
There's a few of them out there.
Now, you said you like to go to the UFO conferences, right?
I do. I've gone to a couple just because the people there are crazy. I've been to some of the sci-fi cons, too. The sci-fi cons, those people.
Yeah.
Those people are crazy.
They're the ones that dress up. They're the ones that dress up the parts, right? Like,
yes.
Guys. And I do a lecture at one every year. It's Conduit, and I almost got killed by some guy wearing a costume. He had like these. I don't. It was an anime costume. I don't know what character he was. But he had these spikes hanging off his shoulder, and they were made of this hard rubber. And he came walking by me, and he was just the right height that spike almost sliced my throat open. And they're definitely in the upper crazy field. And I thought I was weird, you know, until I met these people. It's kind of like, you know, the whole jokes on the day after Thanksgiving shopping sprees where everybody's going crazy and running through the store. You're like, yeah, that doesn't really happen. I can't believe that. It's the same thing on the cons. The first time I went, nah, people aren't really dressing up like this. It's just, you know, there's maybe two or three people that do this. Oh, no. There's two or three people that aren't dressed up.
Yeah, that's very true.
And you're the weird one when you're not wearing a costume.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you go dressed like a normal everyday person is like, what do you do?
Yeah, but if
you're
going to
put your costume on later?
You know, but the whole thing is if it's not one of those cons or like Gen Con or Dragon Con or, you know, it's the Trek cons, Star Trek and things like that. You know, if you talk to any of the guys, the only thing that they will say is, I just go there to get laid.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, seriously.
So, their ideal woman is someone who's like 500 pounds and wearing an elf outfit? What?
Oh, Lord have
with
mercy.
The pointed ears and all.
Oh, with God. The pointed ears and all. No. Leave the ears on, please.
We're only 20 minutes in. We're already headed south.
Uh, You know, I mean, of all the places to go and pick up women, I just can't see those are being one of the places.
Maybe them 20 ears are sexy.
They must be.
Or the little double bun on the side of your head.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's the cinnamon buns on your head.
There you go.
She wore that slave out from Star Wars.
Oh, Lord.
I'm sorry, Mike. You know me. I'm always going to take it down a level.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah, that's why I tried to start it up way high today. Of course, my computer failed to cooperate. That way Tom can bring us down to a normal level.
Well, thanks. I'm always glad to bring us down to a normal level. Sorry, I'm just reading chat here. Someone's talking about F-16s.
Well, Master of Disaster said he's seen some fast... We were talking about the UFOs, and he had seen some stuff flying pretty fast over Lake Erie, not far from Wright Pat. I said it could be F-16.
There's a lot of UFO sightings by the Great Lakes.
Yeah. You know, there's a bunch of them in your hometown, Mike.
Well, not so much here in Lafayette, but of course they say that Kokomo, you know, here a few months back there was a big boom that everyone heard. We even heard it here in Lafayette, I guess. And so there was a big investigation trying to figure out because, you know, what's that air base over there? Can't think of it. But they're saying that, like, Kokomo is like a hub.
I've heard it with Lafayette, too.
Really? And I haven't heard anything about Lafayette, but they say Kokomo. And actually, there's a couple groups in Kokomo, I think, that, you know, that they're into the UFOs and investigate UFO sightings and that sort of thing. I haven't heard anything about Lafayette, though.
I don't know about Utah. I do know that... UFO Hunters or whatever that show's called on is it the History Channel? They were out here this year doing one of their episodes out here.
Well, I'm surprised you guys don't have a lot out there with you know, Arizona and all the places out there that they...
Well, they've got the Army Chemical Depot where they're destroying all the biological stuff, and you've got Wendover. They say there's a Area 52 out there.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to a lot of them. There's a guy here in Utah. His name's Alien Dave, who's really into the UFO stuff. And he was on my show, the first year. And I've had a couple of UFO fanatics on, Clyde Lewis and Alien Dave. And, you know, it's an interesting theory. And I've always wanted to go on a UFO hunt just because I wanted to, you know, I want to see what they do. I've never done it. So... I want to go on a Bigfoot hunt, too.
Yeah, see, I think I'd be more interested in that. That kind of...
Just way too much hiking for me. They just, you know...
I know, they got to go deep into the woods, but that kind of...
Yeah.
Piques my interest a little bit.
If I could do it on a four-wheeler, I'd be okay.
There you go. There you go.
Let's go camp somewhere and play the Bigfoot sounds that they play, because I guess they have recordings, and they play those, and... They're supposed to lure them in, but, you know.
Play the Bigfoot theme song.
Yeah.
Give me a poltergeist any day of the week.
You know, that's a good kind of segue, because I've been kind of thinking about this lately, with all the new groups that are coming in, and all. I don't know about you, but if you've been on Facebook... I have been getting bombarded with friends requests from new paranormal teams all over the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a huge transition from MySpace over to Facebook now, it seems like.
Yeah. But here's my question, and maybe we can ask the question, then we can go into a break or whatnot.
Yeah.
But why do we do this? Why do we ghost hunt?
Well... Okay, we'll answer that after the break. How about that?
Yeah, let's go into a break and think about that. And maybe we can take another half hour kind of talking about that.
Yeah, because and we've touched on it before, and I would agree with what we talked about before wholeheartedly. So, all right, so we'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk about that a little bit. So you are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, and also simulcasted at Free Time Radio over at freetimeradio.com, and we will be right back.
Join us October 3rd, 2009 for the first annual Dining with Ghosts at the historic Elwood Opera House in Elwood, Indiana. Enjoy a fantastic buffet dinner at a historically haunted opera house with their resident ghosts. Dining with Ghosts will be an exciting event for everyone not involved in a group. However, experienced investigators will also enjoy the evening. We'll have two speakers, including Keith, who is a grandson of the original building owner. He'll give us the history of the amazing building. Chris Baker, a co-founder of Crossroads Paranormal, will be discussing paranormal investigating. The investigation will follow the speakers as we break down into groups with a guide, take an investigative tour of some of the most active areas. You're welcome to bring your own cameras, recorders, and EMF meters if you have them. A live webcast hosted by Crossroads Paranormal and the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network will also be part of this event. There will be vendors to visit and talk with while you're not involved in the investigations. You'll have a chance to gather after your investigation and talk about your experiences. You can even be interviewed during the webcast. There's a chance that you might be heard live around the world. Your experiences will be unforgettable, and you'll have a lot of fun if you decide that you would like to join us in Dining with Ghosts. Join Residual Hauntings live every Wednesday night at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Residual Hauntings Live will bring you the best of the best, and not to mention, the Paranormal Ninja. So wind your Wednesday down with Residual Hauntings Live at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hey, psst, kid. Come here. You're looking for a paranormal fix, aren't you? Well, look, check it out. What you need to do, go on over to www.asprn.com. Tell them Mikey sent you. Wink twice, knock twice. When you click on it, hit the chat live. Go into the chat room. Yeah, you'll find your fix there.
All right, we are back. And before the break, Tom posed the question of, why do you think there are so many groups getting into the paranormal field now? So, Tom, I guess we'll let you start.
I don't think it's so much why are the groups getting in here, but I think my thing is, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, we all talk about, well, we're doing this for scientific reasons.
No.
But really, though, Daniel, I mean, a lot of times when you talk to people, well, we only use scientific methods, or how can you use scientific methods on a science that hasn't even been proven?
Very true.
I think that you can do your best to use science to try to explain some of the phenomena that is occurring.
But if we were to truly use science to explain the things that were happening, we would debunk everything.
So are you using science to prove it?
I'm okay with debunking things.
Trying to figure it out.
Exactly. I mean, what are we doing? My point is that I've been thinking about this. Should we start? It just seems like every time I see a new group out there, the first thing that they say is, well, we're only using scientific methods to do this. So they're not using their feelings. Yeah. Or I see them say, we're only using scientific methods, and listed in their group is psychics, mediums, and things like that.
Right, right.
And it's not that I have a problem with psychics or mediums, because I really don't. It's just blowing my mind lately, because I really think this is more of a hobby.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's go back to what you're really asking. Why do you do this hobby in the first place?
Right.
Exactly. Why do we do this?
Well, and I think like we talked another time, I think initially, whether anyone wants to admit it or not, it's that initial thrill.
Yeah.
You're looking for that thrill. And like you said, I think you said, Tom, if you say you're not, you're probably not telling the whole truth.
Because I don't necessarily agree with that. I think the thrill seekers will get into the field first, and then once they find out how boring this research really can be, then they are the ones that fade off.
Right, but I think if...
I think there's a small minority of the thrill seekers that fade off, but you can't tell me that you don't go on a ghost hunt hoping to get scared. Down deep inside, we all, that's the whole reason why we go, to get that hair on our face, the goosebumps, and hopefully we're going to see something that's gonna scare us.
Or as,
that's why we all...
As Chris likes to say, make you pee a little.
Make you pee a little.
I am totally not for that reason. Absolutely not.
Well,
really?
I am doing it for one reason and one reason only, and that is for personal reasons. And those personal reasons are for affirmation of spirituality in the first place.
So once you see a ghost, you feel like you've succeeded, you don't need to do this anymore?
That's a good possibility, yeah.
So you haven't seen an apparition.
But I want to make sure, no, I want to use the science in finding out if it truly is a ghost, meaning in the true sense of the definition, that it is a soul of someone who is dead.
Right.
And I want to be able to prove that. Then I want to go the next step and say, all right, does that mean that the soul of someone is dead? Does that mean that humanity really does have a soul? And then is there religious connotation to that, the spirituality behind that? And in the long run, I'm trying to prove to myself and no one else, and I could care less about what anybody else thinks. I want to know, does God exist?
So ultimately, you're trying to find your faith in God through ghost hunting.
Absolutely.
100%. Okay. And I accept that because I agree. That's one of the reasons why I do this. I find that it's bringing me closer to my God and my beliefs. But I just have a hard time with people saying that they are only doing this because of the science.
Being a scientific skeptic in the first place, the only way that I know how to define a spirituality or to define God in itself or any kind of religious belief, it would be to prove or disprove that ghosts really exist.
So if you were to disprove that there are no such things as ghosts, you would not believe that there's a God.
Absolutely.
But can you actually disprove that? And you know, and I'm asking that question, you know that I'm not much of a believer at all.
Right.
Yeah.
But can you actually prove, will you ever be able to prove that they do not exist?
I have no idea. That's what I'm working towards.
So now here's
one of the reasons why I use the science in the first place, though, is to actually be able to disprove it.
Well, here's the next question, though. So if we prove that there are no such thing as ghosts, what are we seeing? Are they some sort of evil natural spirit? But if that's the case, wouldn't that mean that there has to be... I mean, logic dictates if there's evil, there's got to be good.
I believe that and I hate to sound so freaking cliche and ridiculously stupid by saying this, but I really do believe in Occam's razor.
Okay.
In the fact that, you know, it has to be the simplest answer. That's the truth. Right now, we don't have anything, period. Nothing.
I disagree with that. I believe we do have a lot of things. And it comes down to what you're willing to accept as paranormal.
I believe that EVP does not have an explanation. And I do believe in paranormal in this true sense of the word, that there's just no explanation yet. My point in why I research is to find that explanation. Because if there truly is something that I cannot find an explanation in my lifetime, I am going to be more likely to believe that there is a possibility in that souls, and maybe that there is a God or something along those lines.
Okay. So, back to the question, I mean, I can see why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we think that it's becoming so popular?
Well, it's got to be what you guys were talking about with it, which is thrill-seeking. It's the same thing as storm chasing. It's the same thing as bungee jumping. It's the same thing as anything else that requires high amounts of adrenaline.
Yep.
Because you have to be able to control your fear response.
And the
there are some people who are really good at controlling their fear response and want the fear response, and there are other people who cannot control the fear response who want to learn how to control the fear response.
Okay, so on a scientific level, how do we compare one investigation to another?
We can't. There is absolutely no regulation in the field.
Why not?
Because as far as I know, one of the reasons why I started getting involved in the meet and greets and everything else like that is because we're not a real scientific field right now. We have no peer review. We absolutely do not work in using written research and using white papers, and we don't do any of the things that we're supposed to be doing in a scientific field.
I use written papers. I use records. I use evidence. I try to conduct experiments at different locations and at the same locations over and over again.
But without the actual peer review and an actual association where we are working together to follow the field.
Peer review is a new concept in the scientific field. This is like Ben Franklin trying to figure out what electricity is. See what I'm saying?
Yes, but you have no definitive...
But what is science? That's what we need to decide. We need to define what exactly is scientific study.
But you also have kids out there who are failing science in high school who are trying to be ghost hunters.
And I got the answer real quick, not to interrupt you guys, but you were trying to come up with a reason why there's such an influx of groups starting and that kind of stuff. I think Greg used the proper term. It's the most popular fad right now.
Yeah, it's a fetish.
Due to all the stuff on TV and everything like that. I think that's a lot of it. Now, once they start getting weeded out, and the people that really get interested in it, and they've done their little, you know, thrill seek and what have you, and then they continue on. But probably for, what do you think? For every 10 groups that start, 7 will go away?
You know, it's so hard to say.
Well, I know that, you know, just looking at the shotgun effect right now with, you know, there are so many groups out there, and I know that just 4 years ago, they used to die off that fast, but now it's like they're everywhere and they're sticking.
Now, they are sticking.
Now, what I think I see, part of the large number of new groups forming, what I noticed just from the other day when we had our meet and greet, is a lot of the new groups are people from a previous group that decided to branch out on their own. So now you had a group over here, but that maybe they've got two groups that branched off from it. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Now, maybe in your area. In my area, I'm seeing people that have never really ever done this before pop up and, you know, go on Craigslist or Facebook or meet and greet, find people of the same interest, and then start a group.
Yeah. Now, you know, and one of the things that I know Danielle and Chris wanted to do when they first started this meet and greet, and I seen that out of two or three different people when we had ours, they came there looking for an established group to be able to join. They had an interest in it, and they wanted to join a group and get involved, which instead of just going out on their own and starting up a new group and running all over the countryside all willy-nilly and everything, they were there looking for a group to join. So, I mean, that was, and that's here in Indiana now, you know, like you said, Tom, out there in Utah, or I imagine every state or most states is probably different depending on what's going on.
Exactly. And Greg brought up an interesting point. He said that the scientific field will not recognize it. But in all new sciences, most scientific fields will not recognize it.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I think that we, as long as we are doing the research tried and true and trying to stick to everything that we're supposed to be doing, then they will eventually. That's not the issue. I think the issue is that we've got way too many people out there who are uneducated, who are just doing it for thrill seeking and not doing it for any reason at all, pretty much.
And is there any is there anything wrong with that?
No, because they could stumble upon something. Well, I don't subscribe to the belief that there is anything dangerous with it whatsoever. So, no, on that hand, no. On the other hand, I think that they could stumble onto some really fascinating
evidence,
research or activity or something that would be really great to that they wouldn't know what they were doing when they got
right.
it.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You know, they could come across, you know, a fantastic EVP, and they'd just be putting it on their website going, listen to what we caught.
Yeah.
And not going back and trying to figure out how to recreate it or try to figure out why it happened.
Exactly.
Now, how many of you guys, I mean, I've been doing this for a while, and my question is, the next question, how do we get reoccurring EVP? Because I think that's where the basis of the science is going to have to be.
I believe you are absolutely right on that. The only field of science right now that I think is plausible in paranormal investigation right now is EVP science.
Yeah, is audio. And it's the oldest science in the ghost field. I mean, it's been the one that people have been doing forever. And I can go on a ghost hunt. If a place is truly haunted, I can get audio. I can almost guarantee I can get something, if not at least five or six, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
But can I get it reoccurring? Can I go back to the location, ask the exact same EVP question in the exact same location, and get the exact same response? No.
Mm-hmm. The trouble
hasn't happened.
The trouble I have with EVP is there are so few that you can make out the first time through. That's why.
Yeah, but why is it there in the first place, Mike? That's the whole point.
But we don't know what that is. I mean, that could be
even if it's a bunch of garbled noise, it doesn't matter. The fact is that it shouldn't be there as garbled noise in the first place.
But what I'm saying is, how do we know it's not some kind of interference from, you know, there's so much stuff flying through the air these days, microwaves and radio waves and tidal waves. Well, I don't know.
The question I have for that, though, Mike, is how come I can ask a question, can you tell me your name, and I get it's Ralph.
Okay. But
if it's just garbling through the air, how is it that I ask that question
right.
and I get that exact response?
What I'm saying is how many of those, I'm not saying there's not any, but there's so many that you just might think it says Ralph. Now, if it's very clear and you absolutely with no doubt in your mind or anyone else can listen, I guess my thing is, if you got a thing and you say it said Ralph and you think it's clear, can you play that for someone else without saying a word to them and they hear Ralph exactly the same way you did?
Well, in a majority of my EVPs, that's exactly. People hear the exact same thing that somebody else heard.
Because there's too many times, in my opinion, someone's playing an EVP for something, and you listen to it, you know, you're listening real close, and you hear something, and you can't make it out. Now, someone says, well, I hear this. Now they play it again, and you say, okay, now I can hear that. That's putting that suggestion in the person's mind, so now
maybe they
hear
that.
And I agree,
but that's exactly what my husband is stuck on, is the fact that, you know, whatever that sound is, but that's not the point that I'm stuck on. I'm stuck on the fact that there should not be sound there in the first place, whatever that sound is.
And I understand what you're saying, but unless it's crystal clear And without, you know, like I said, anyone can listen to it and hear it right off the bat. We don't know that that's not coming from all the waves flying through the air or something else.
We don't. We don't know that it's not our subconscious mind projecting it into the audio device itself.
Right.
We don't know that. Too. Which is a total possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember who. I think it was Chris Fleming suggested that on one of my shows. Mm-hmm. And both Russ and I have both felt, you know, what if it is us? What if we're just mentally seeing these things?
Yeah. And I think,
That's the case, though, we can turn that into a science as well.
Right.
Because that's paranormal. That means that we are using some sort of psychic ability to create an event.
Right.
I've heard enough EVP over the years to believe that that is a possibility, too. Because, I mean, whether or not you're getting an answer to your own question or whether or not you're getting an EVP that you've just thought the question
mm-hmm.
without even asking it in the first place and heard those answers come through on audio.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard enough of that to actually build, you know, that is a good hypothesis and a good experiment that is, you know, plausible.
Okay, now.
Now, what about the EVPs that we've captured with audio devices where nobody's around?
What do you
mean? I set audio up in rooms that nobody goes in.
Right, right.
And we've captured audio.
Right.
I've captured EVP in those rooms.
Right.
And nobody's been in there.
Right. And I'm not saying, but still, do we know it's not coming from someone down the street playing a radio and the waves is interference or whatever, or something, you know, flying through the air, you know, at the time, or just some kind of interference? Do we know that?
I think that there are enough audio experts out there that would know enough about sound waves and things like that to be able to say that. In some instances, yes, but there are instances where, no, that's not possible.
Okay, the audio experts, but I'm talking about your everyday run-of-the-mill Joe ghost hunter.
And that's the problem.
Right.
How? And I think this is the whole thing that I'm trying to bring up,
uh-huh.
is that we as paranormal investigators have a tendency to claim we're doing this for scientific reasons. Uh-huh. But how many of those people are actually doing the scientific research to learn, okay, what is an audio, what is a sound wave? Mm-hmm. How does it travel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, light anomalies. What is a light anomaly?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still getting people sending me pictures of orbs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. No,
you know?
I 100% that 90% of the people out there have not research what UV light really is, what IR light really is. They have no idea what the light spectrum is. They don't understand how sound waves work. I was, you know, back years ago, I wanted to tear apart my dad's fish finder and use that as a possibility of finding ghosts.
One of the tools that I want to get for investigation is a fish camera.
Absolutely.
You know, it's got so I can drop it into holes in different locations because it's got the IR things in there. It can record and everything.
Right.
But we as paranormal investigators, if I honestly think that if somebody posts on their website that they say they use scientific methods, they should have an explanation of what scientific methods they use.
Yeah.
Because everybody's saying it.
Right.
And everybody, I also believe if you're going to go as far as saying that you have scientific evidence of some sort, you better have the trifecta. You better have it on audio. You better have it on video. You better have it maybe on another recorder. You better have it on parabolic mic. You better have it on three different devices of scientific research before.
But how rare is that?
Something. It is very rare.
I mean, it's almost impossible. And I've only had it happen a few times in all the years that I've been doing audio that we've captured the same EVP at the same time on multiple recorders.
I think that would be the true unexplained response.
So those are the ones that we need to look at. So the EVP that I have that says, "Where's the baby?" that I got on two audio recorders and a videotape would be the
to
more
me,
scientific.
That would be the only scientific piece of evidence, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So should we throw out everything else?
Yes.
But what if the only able to manipulate the device, one device at a time?
But it's still not scientific evidence then.
When you say manipulate, what do you mean by that? You talking about running?
I believe that spirits manipulate the sound waves themselves.
And they direct it towards one device.
And indirect them or direct them into a device to answer the question. I believe that when we get EVP, what they're doing is they're actually taking the sound waves that are floating around in the air, and they've learned to manipulate them just like our vocal cords do.
But and then you're saying they direct it just to, you could have 10 audio devices going and they will direct it to one?
One. Mm-hmm. I believe that they can focus enough energy to imprint it onto one device.
Okay, and if but that's still not scientific enough, evidence.
But what is scientific evidence? Are we using what scientists believe? But not always, though. The old science, you haven't always had to use the trifecta. There, you know, I mean, so Thomas Edison invents the phone. Do we not believe it works until somebody else does it?
I think until it's a proven experiment where everyone else can do it, yes, I believe it's not true evidence.
So until everybody else that's... so if everybody else is in the paranormal field, somebody gets this fantastic piece of evidence. We can't say that it's true until three other people capture the exact same thing?
Or more.
Or more.
Hmm.
See, I don't think I can agree with that. I think we can take people's evidence and the things that they've learned and use it to base more evidence or base our evidence on that. We can learn from what other people have done.
Well, I still don't think that would be hardcore evidence in saying that that it actually is a true hypothesis or true experiment. I think that in order to use science, you have to be able to recreate it over and over and over and over and over again, tried and true.
What about things that scientists have done by mistake and they don't know exactly how they've done it?
That could be happening all over the place with all these people who have no idea what they're doing.
Okay. So, going back to the original question, how do we, as paranormal investigators, justify the fact that we say we're using scientific methods? Well, I don't think there's any way we can justify it.
I think that if you are using the scientific method in your research, real scientific method, that you've researched how to use the scientific method, and you are using real scientific methods, I think that no matter what you come up with is scientific in nature.
So, if we have a method that we're using on a regular basis, that would be considered scientific?
If you are using the same methods over and over and over again, and if you get evidence one time, it is still scientific. But until you prove that hypothesis over and over and over again, and more people can actually use that scientific hypothesis over and over and over again and still prove it to be true, then it is still research, and it's just, that's all it is. It's just research.
Okay. Then let's use the ovilist as an example. Everybody I've ever talked to that uses the ovilist gets demon.
Yeah.
Everybody. So is that proof that they're actually getting paranormal experience?
No.
Absolutely not.
Why?
Because
according to the theory that you just said, if you get more than one person getting the same evidence,
then
that must be scientific.
It is the method in which they are using that is not scientific.
But that is also
that response.
That is also preloaded.
Exactly. But how do we know that that's not how they're communicating?
Okay, but
that,
on that particular one, in my opinion, it's like we talked before, the ovula supposedly takes the energy from the air, turns it into numbers or whatever, and then makes it turn into voice or whatever. So it's a preloaded word. Okay, we don't know what energy is creating that to pop up all the time. It could be just standard oxygen or something coming through, you know, all the time. And that's the way, that's the reason that one comes up. That's what was assigned to. You know, I'm assuming he assigned, he's got these 500 words in the ovulus. So I would think that each one of those words is assigned to some kind of, some type of energy or whatever you want to call it that creates that word.
Sockbook is asking what the ovulus is. And let me get this out. I don't like the ovulus. It annoys the hell out of me.
No.
Okay, anybody who thinks that I might, sorry, I don't.
Yeah.
The ovulus is just a recording device. It's like a little dictionary.
Yeah.
And like Mike was saying, it's supposed to record the temperature, the humidity, a whole bunch of things. And it's supposed to produce some sort of word to whatever the environment is in that particular area.
Right. Now, I want to go back, because back to your original question, Greg had asked a question. I don't know if I can find it now.
Yeah, it was how can these new groups turn into good groups?
Yeah,
and I agree that they can. I think that if they are willing to, you know, change things up every now and then, because I think the ones that bother me are the ones that do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know, like they say on the TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
They imitate what they've seen. They don't try to develop their own sort of skills.
So you're saying the ones that really aren't that good go into various different types of establishments but conduct the same type of experiment instead of switching it up based on the establishment.
I think the ones that have a theory and use an experiment, I mean, because I do the same things over and over again in places, but I also try new things as well.
Based on the history?
Whatever the history or whatever's in the building.
Right.
Obviously, if there's no history of a child being killed in the building, why would I be going in there trying to talk like a kid?
Right.
Or talk to a child?
So if you're doing the same thing every single time, then a lot of times you're wasting your time, because
I think so.
If you go into a place that there's no children and you do that child thing every single time, then the likelihood of you getting anything is slim to none. Or if you go into a daycare type whatever.
I think you need to look at the environment where you're going.
Right.
And that's why I think history of a building is very, very important.
Right.
Unless, of course, you're using psychics or mediums, then you keep that information from them.
Right.
But I do believe that there should be at least one person in your group who does the research of the location you're going to.
Right. Knows the history and all the information so that you can compare, or you can evaluate what someone gives you to see if it coincides with what actually happened.
What you found.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, too, I think that there is a lot of groups out there that are becoming better at this because they're learning from their mistakes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
even I still learn from my mistakes.
I would also say that I do agree with knowing the history of a location before you go on and not just keeping it from everyone, because I also believe wholeheartedly in triggers, and I believe in using trigger objects or trigger names or trigger
something. That's a good point. That's a very good
point. And if you're sitting in a location where you know that, like the Sally House, for example, if you're going to go into the Sally House, are you not going to try to talk to Sally?
Yeah, exactly.
But,
why would?
But at the same time, because my biggest thing is the mind suggestion. If a person knows things, then I think they're going to see or hear things that maybe don't exist because they've already got this imprinted in their mind.
And I agree, but if I can get hardcore scientific evidence by utilizing those practices, even if they are suggestions,
mm-hmm.
then I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. But I think the information that's given to, I agree with Tom, I think one person needs to know all the information I think somebody in your group needs to know every detail that they know. I think the rest of the people need to know vague information. You know, if it's a man, don't say that, you know, the guy here, his name is John and yada, 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 yada. Say there, it's been known that there's a man that was killed here or whatever, or there was a fire, or, you know, just do vague information to the rest of the members so that they don't have a lot of details that may be stuck in their mind and they start thinking that this is the kind of stuff that they got.
See, now here's something that I've done on one of the ghost tours that we've done. We have a location where there's a particular room that a lot of women feel nauseous, don't want to go into, have ill feelings, and some have actually been scratched mm-hmm. and touched in this particular building. Mm-hmm. Now, on one of the tours, I have said, okay, now there is a room in this building. I'm not going to tell you what room it is, mm-hmm. but there is a room in this building where a lot of women feel sick, have had a lot of these experiences. If you go into one of these rooms and you're feeling that way, I want you to come up to me by yourself during the tour or after it happened or after the tour and tell me where that location is, and I want to compare and see how many people had those feelings without actually giving the information out to where the location mm-hmm. was. Yeah. Now, I want to say almost 80% of the women who came up to me pinpointed the location and had no idea that anybody else had those experiences in that particular room. Can I use that as scientific evidence?
Yes.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the things that we need to do. We need to have somebody who knows the history about the building and say, okay, this is something that's happened in the building.
Right.
I know where it happened, but I'm not going to tell you where it happened.
Exactly, my point.
I need you guys to go out, and I think that's what you were saying, Mike.
Give them the vague information. You know, give them some information, but make it vague so that they have to actually discover it themselves versus you giving them all the information. You know, like you said right there, okay, if you go into the black room, it's been known that people get nauseous and all that kind of stuff. Well, now you've imprinted that in people's minds, so every time that anyone goes in this black room, they're going to remember that, or even if they don't remember it, it's going to be in their subconscious, and they're going to say, okay, oh, I feel nauseous in here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's got to be vague.
But Master Disaster just brought up a good point. Waverly Hills. Everybody knows the history about Waverly Hills now.
Right.
Everybody knows where the...
And everybody comes out of Waverly Hills with some kind of evidence. So-called evidence.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all... Oh, Daniel's go. All the same thing. And so, I mean, how much of it are they creating themselves? Oh. Sorry, I was reading our instant message.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Danielle's gone. I knew she got to get ready to leave here for long. So.
Yeah.
And Danielle, in no way am I hoping that you think that I'm trying to pick on you, because I'm not.
Yeah,
I love being picked on.
I'm a devil's advocate here. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, right, because I have my own theory on this. And my biggest concern is that there are a lot of people out there that are starting to do this more and more and more and more. And I'm okay with that. But I think the more groups that are doing this, the further and further we're getting from the scientific side of it.
It's becoming too diluted.
Exactly. And I'm okay with new groups. I'm okay with that. But I really think that new groups really have got to try to develop that scientific side, especially if they say they use scientific methods.
Right.
Because I have been noticing that more and more and more on Facebook and going... I check out ghost sites all the time because that's how I learn.
Right.
And I want to see what other people are doing. And hell, it also lets me know where other people have gone because it helps me get into places as well.
Yeah. And you know,
I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum, though. I can't stand the groups that say that they're not using scientific methods.
Well, I think I would have as much respect for somebody who says, you know what, we're doing this because it's fun, as I would if somebody says, you know, I'm using scientific methods. I would, if they're being honest about it, hey, we're a bunch of people that get together who go look for ghosts. I'm not trying to prove it. I'm not trying to do anything. We just have a lot of fun doing it, and that's why we're doing it. I would have as much respect for that group as I would for anybody who's saying, well, I'm trying to have use scientific methods.
As long as those or ones the, that are going just going for fun are doing it the proper way with getting permission. And
yeah, exactly.
Right. They need to follow, you know, I don't want to use the word rules, but they should abide by the laws. Let's put it that way. The local
laws. They should abide by the
laws. Yeah. It comes to the ones that say, okay, we're almost all psychics in our groups are sensitives, and we're getting this and we're getting that, and that's proof.
Yeah, those ones really bug the crap out of me. But I believe that the whole psychic thing is also a new fad.
Yeah, well, and it goes back to the power of suggestion. If you tell everybody in that group every single detail, you know, someone can claim to be a sensitive, and they're going to start saying things. Well, yeah, because they already know the details. You know, how are you going to dispute it?
Master Disaster brought up, the TV shows act like they don't get paid for doing the show. Yeah, it's true. They do act like that. And I was hoping Chris was going to be on the show because I have got one that would probably just open the bomb. What's wrong with getting paid for doing the paranormal?
Yeah.
And, you know, exactly. Everyone's like, oh my God, did he just say that?
Well, you know, you got
what's
Danielle
wrong
here.
With charging people to go and investigate their home? You what's got, wrong with that?
You got Danielle here. They're kind of two peas in a pod, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know.
So,
but I mean, I have my own theories about that, and I disagree with charging people because this is a hobby, and we should actually be paying them to go in. And, I mean, it's just like somebody who's going golfing. They're not going to go golf for free.
Right, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. Or, you know, I wish I could go fishing for free, but I've got to go and buy a license and stuff like that. But yeah. Everybody seems to be slamming on the groups that are charging to do this. And if they can learn to make money at something they enjoy, what's wrong with that? And
everything,
if someone's willing to,
everything is wrong
why?
With that.
Why? If someone's willing to pay them to go and investigate their home, what's wrong with that?
Because I believe in ethics and morals.
What's ethically wrong with charging if someone wants to pay me to go into their house?
Okay, one, there's no scientific proof that ghost exists.
But what if they want to pay me to go in there and see how what I'm doing?
If they're
how
all
I'm
right,
doing it
this way, if I go open a can of cockroaches in someone's house, and then if I stand and take admittance, charging people to come in and see cockroaches, fine. But you prove to me that there's a ghost in the house first before you could charge.
Okay, but what if someone says, you know what, I want to give you $100 to come look at my house?
Prove to me that there's a ghost there.
No, just what if? Why does the client have to prove to me that there's a ghost
before they charge?
No. The client emails me and says, "Hey, listen, I want to pay you $100 to come to my house and do a ghost hunt."
I'm not going to accept that money.
Why?
Because it's unethical.
Why is it unethical?
It's not right to accept something for nothing.
You're going there. You're spending 6 to 8 hours of your time. You're setting up your equipment. You're showing the client what you're doing. You're going back and showing him if you found anything or if you didn't find anything. So what if that $100 is to pay for your time, the energy, the equipment, and they're willing to give you the $100?
So you're saying you're doing it professionally?
No, what I'm doing is
you're accepting goods and services for your goods and services.
And in a sense, yes.
That would be a professional act, accepting monetary response or something in kind.
Okay, what's wrong with that?
Being professional. Have a profession first.
You know, so golfers, that's their profession. Golfing's their profession?
If they're getting paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are professional golfers.
If I start getting paid to ghost hunt, I'm a professional ghost hunter?
If that's what you're claiming, sure.
And is there wrong with that?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay.
All you're saying is that it's immoral.
The world is immoral.
The world is full of immoral professions.
Yes.
And they're just as wrong?
Yes.
But they do it.
Yes.
But so your moral level states that
okay.
If
I got let's do it this way. Let's use the golf analogy that you were talking about.
Okay.
Now, there are professional golfers. Now, I can't walk out, you know, I've been playing golf for 35 years. I can't go and say I'm a professional golfer. They have steps that they have to go through in order to reach that point, you know.
They have to win certain amount of tournaments and
right. There's things that you have to establish to enable to be a golfer or a professional baseball player or football or whatever else or any of these other things. There are no steps that way in a paranormal.
Okay, I will go as far as saying this. One day in the future, if we ever decide to get our crap together and establish an association...
Governing body
of the paranormal, and you have done X, Y, and Z on education and learning research methods and scientific methodology, and you've done this, this, and this, and you've paid your dues, and you're an upstanding member, etc., and you decide then you're going to use your membership as... the foundation and the education that you're providing someone, I'm okay with you then charging.
Okay. I was playing devil's advocate
right,
again.
I think
it's wrong to charge for an investigation.
Right.
I would never, ever charge anybody to investigate their home or their location.
Right.
Everybody that's listening to the show, WPI does not charge. Okay? I'm playing the bad guy again.
Right. Right. Now, someone mention that they take donations, which I know many groups do.
And I do take... I have a donation website. I do have a donation thing on my website.
Right.
And a lot of the times, people use that donation to go on ghost tours.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's a difference between the ghost tour and a ghost hunt.
Exactly.
I'm actually taking somebody on a location, and I'm showing them how we do this. And I'm showing them, you know, I'm teaching them how to use the equipment, and they're getting to go into locations that typically they wouldn't be able to go on. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right. Now,
because I'm taking my time and I'm showing someone how to, showing them the experience that I've had over the years.
Now, one of the things, and I was going to bring this up, and Kurt put it in the chat room, you know, for the groups that do charge to do an investigation for someone, are they registered with their state, and do they have a business license? Because if they don't, how do they accept payment for their services?
Yeah, exactly.
Legally.
But, you know, going back to what Danielle says,
right.
It is immoral.
Right.
And there are a lot of businesses in this world that are immoral that don't have business licenses.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Go talk to any woman wearing a short skirt on the corner of a street. Okay. Whether you agree with it or not,
but she has an
agent. She doesn't have a business license.
She has an agent.
Not unless she's in Nevada.
She has an agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has an agent. And I guarantee you he's not licensed either.
Probably not.
And most likely the gun he's carrying isn't licensed either. But I agree with you, Danielle. I think it is wrong for anybody to charge for an investigation. But my question was, I mean, my biggest question is, what if someone, after the investigation, wants to give you $50?
As long as they're stating it's for a donation purpose and you are a registered nonprofit organization within your state, and I would also like to go farther as far as saying that they are also registered as a 501c3 federally.
What about if they're an LLC?
If you are an LLC, I have a huge problem with it.
Why?
Because that would be a limited liability corporation, and you're not a nonprofit.
Okay, a limited liability corporation can absolutely deduct their gas, their vehicles, their equipment that they spend their own money on from their taxes.
But you still cannot accept donations as an LLC.
No, but you can accept cash gifts or bonuses as long as you claim it.
That would be unethical.
I don't see how it would be unethical, but okay. I don't see how it would be unethical.
It is still unethical. It would still be considered a donation. Not
if
a gift.
Businesses were actually run by the ethics of business ethics, we wouldn't have any businesses.
I agree, but I am a capitalist, but then again, I am also an ethical capitalist.
I can't believe that there is such a thing. I'm sorry, I just can't believe that there is an ethical capitalist. It's impossible.
It exists.
That's like saying there is a communist who believes in freedom. That's just not possible. I'm sorry.
You heard it first,
if
right here on ASBRN.
If somebody handed me a card, like a thank you card, and they had put $25 in there, you know, hey, thanks for coming out, I'm not going to turn around and not take it, because I spent a lot of my own money on gas and vehicles and equipment, and it's such a rarity, I'm not going to, you know, deny it. I'm going to say, hey, thank you very much. That was very kind of you.
But that
what's
goes,
ethical
that
or what, what's wrong with... Why?
Why? Because you cannot... Because you're not supposed to do that in business circles. In business circles, ethics states that you are supposed to not accept gifts.
What about the guys that go golfing and say $2 a hole? That's gambling. That's illegal.
In some states.
In most states.
To me, that is...
I think you're just getting... I think you're... Sometimes we have to walk that line.
I know that if somebody offers me something that is not a donation, I am not accepting it. And if it is a donation, then I have the state covering me saying that I am a non-for-profit organization. And I also would hope that most people would have the 501c3, which would cover you under your taxes, legally accepting a donation.
Okay. I can accept that. I just think that, I disagree with anybody charging to do a ghost hunt.
The only thing I have in this world is my integrity, and like I said, I believe in ethical business more than anything in the entire world, and I also believe in ethical research more than anything in the entire world, and I don't believe in provoking.
No, she didn't.
Well,
she
how, can you how can you believe in scientific methods if you're not willing to use all the scientific methods?
I believe in
ethics.
It's not provoking. It's spiritual start, stimulating spiritual communication.
No, that is not. That is unethical research in my book.
Oh, someday you'll learn.
You know, and
someday you'll learn.
I think that same show that we just had this before. We almost bought us a Prascal the other day, Tom. It just popped in my head, so I had to bring that up because you brought up the provoking and the SSN or whatever the hell it was we were talking about before. But I think it was the same show. Yeah,
one
was
of the reasons why I mentioned an LLC, and it's something that Master Disaster mentioned too, is that it protects you personally.
Yes,
that's why,
but
I think,
it also protects you more if you are a non-profit status.
No, because you can still be sued if you're a non-profit.
You can, which means that you better be
careful.
As an
LLC, you can't be
sued.
But
you cannot accept donations legally.
As an LLC?
Yes.
But you can charge.
If you're going to go out there and say you're an LLC and charge, more power to you. I hope you get fried.
Don't hold back now.
And again, in no way do I ever want to charge for a ghost hunt. I never would. I wouldn't. I think it's wrong.
Please don't try to charge Danielle, will you?
Don't even offer her money, for the love of God.
Don't offer me money. I will not accept it. Okay.
Here's $5 for dinner. No. I'm sorry. I got to tease the crap out of you now.
No. I will pay for my own.
Oh. Someone who has some morals.
Yes, I'm ethical.
Especially now, and especially nowadays.
All right, guys, I'm going to have to leave.
All right, Jay. We appreciate you coming by. Always a pleasure having you. And we'll talk with you again on Monday's show.
Sounds good.
All right, bye. All right, Tom, let's say, what do you say we go ahead and take a quick break here real quick, and
sure.
Then we'll come back and see what other garbage we can bring up and toss around and everything.
So, hey, it lasted for almost an hour. So
I know. I'm kind of stuck trying to find a good commercial. I need to play the Dining with Ghost again for the people that didn't hear it the first time. So you are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, as well as Free Time Radio over at freetimeradio.com. And we will be right back.
Join us October 3rd, 2009 for the first annual Dining with Ghosts at the historic Elwood Opera House in Elwood, Indiana. Enjoy a fantastic buffet dinner at a historically haunted opera house with their resident ghosts. Dining with Ghosts will be an exciting event for everyone not involved in a group. However, experienced investigators will also enjoy the evening. We'll have two speakers, including Keith, who is a grandson of the original building owner. He'll give us the history of the amazing building. Chris Baker, a co-founder of Crossroads Paranormal, will be discussing paranormal investigating. The investigation will follow the speakers as we break down into groups with a guide, take an investigative tour of some of the most active areas. You're welcome to bring your own cameras, recorders, and EMF meters if you have them. A live webcast hosted by Crossroads Paranormal and the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network will also be part of this event. There will be vendors to visit and talk with while you're not involved in the investigations. You'll have a chance to gather after your investigation and talk about your experiences. You can even be interviewed during the webcast. There's a chance that you might be heard live around the world. Your experiences will be unforgettable, and you'll have a lot of fun if you decide that you would like to join us in Dining with Ghosts.
Do you hear it? I think it's coming. Listen. You might want to run for cover. Unless.
Hey, Midwest Paratalk Radio is coming to you live every Thursday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Join Chris and Mike Baker for Crossroads Paranormal Radio every Sunday night at 8:30 Eastern for great weird locations, weird news, and great conversations. Crossroads Paranormal Radio, breathing life into the paranormal community every Sunday night, 8:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the Good Morning Paranormal Radio Show. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a lot of excitement here this morning. We've had a good show so far, I think.
It's like Christmas here.
I know. Oh, it's a good one. So
it's nice to know that I can just say one simple thing and piss off a woman.
Well, you know, I said, her and Chris are two peas in a pod. So you can accomplish the same mission with whichever one shows up that day.
Yeah.
But no, it makes for great conversation, though.
It does, and you know, and really, I am truly not for charging for ghost hunts and things like that. And I just think that there are a lot of people out there that are starting to do it, and whether it's ethical or whatnot, they have to be careful when they decide to do these things.
Well, and you know what? What makes this so good, though, is that you know both of you guys have the strong personalities. But the best part about it is, no matter what's said, you're still going to be friends after the show is over with.
I don't know. I think she's probably cussing me out now.
She might be. Well, Chris probably would be too, but that wouldn't change anything. But no, it's good, and those are good conversations to have, and you know, and that's what I think. When you were talking about the new groups and stuff, you know, a lot of them do come in and listen to these shows now, and I think there's a lot of the shows out there, as many as there are a lot of good ones, and they're talking about this sort of thing. And maybe some of these new groups are listening to some devices and stuff, and utilizing, you know, what they've heard and trying it out for themselves and seeing that, okay, hey, this might be the best way to do this or whatever. So, I think they're good.
Yeah, and I think so too. And like I said, I have no problems with new groups starting up. I'm concerned that so many of them are saying, well, you know, we use scientific methods, but they don't back up what scientific methods are you using.
And I as well. I don't care if there's 5,000 new groups a month start up, as long as they are, you know, abiding by the laws for your area and not doing anything that you should not be doing. And creating a bad taste in people's mouths for other paranormal groups that are trying to do things the right way.
You know, that brings up an interesting question, though, because I've been facing this a lot lately. I've had some people, some groups, that have issues with my group because we're kind of getting known.
Mm-hmm.
The whole jealousy factor.
Right. And you're going to have that.
And I think it's interesting because I've always been... You know, when I started WPI, it was what I call an open door policy, where I would let anybody go on a ghost hunt with us. I would teach them what we're doing, stuff like that. And I'm actually starting to lean more towards the closed door now because of some things that have happened to me and my group, because it's hurt us.
Right.
Whether it's a lie or not, it has hurt us.
Yeah, and I think you need, you know, the open door concept is great, but you do open yourself up to that sort of thing, you know, and once you get established, you know, if you're an established group in your state and people are starting to come your way to provide them with some services, you don't want anything to come along that's going to tarnish that in any way.
Yeah. And, you know, and it only takes one person and one comment to cause a lot of issues.
Yep. It's back to that mind suggestion thing. Somebody's imprinted that in somebody else's mind or many people's minds, and now WPI, no, we don't want them. They do this or they do that, you know, or they've done this.
Yeah. Sassy's saying, you know, the whole jealousy thing happens way too often. Yeah. And that's true. It's a sad thing, but, you know, the whole competition thing, I guess, keeps me going.
Well, you know, competition in itself is good. If you use it right, it will make you better. But if you use it in the jealousy aspect, then, you know, it's just going to cause grief.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we try to. We don't care that anyone does anything that we do, go anywhere that we go. You know, that stuff we don't concern ourselves with.
Yeah. If you want to try to contact a place that I've been to because you've seen it on my website.
Absolutely.
By all means, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there, I know of a couple of places that we go to, and I've told them, you know, hey, I don't care if you have anybody else go, but they don't want anybody else coming into their location.
Right.
But us.
And that's good, but you know, at the same time, that can be bad. That will.
Yeah, and that causes problems.
Exactly.
And it's not because I've said, well, we don't want anybody else investigating it. It's because the place feels comfortable with my team, or they feel comfortable with this particular team, and they don't want to step out of that comfort zone.
Right, and so that can create a double-edged sword on that. You know, it could be good for your team, or it could be bad for them. Yeah. Because now there's other groups saying, okay, well, WPAI has conned these people into, you know, locking it down to only they can go.
Yeah, and that's farthest from the truth.
Right, I go say it may not be WPI, it might just be that homeowner or that establishment owner that feels comfortable with you guys in the way that you go about doing what you do.
Yeah. So, all those people that are listening to the show that hate me, sorry.
Everybody hates Tom.
Everybody
you
hates Tom.
You start your own show, Tom.
I need that. I know that show.
Everybody loves Raymond. We can have Everyone Hates Tom.
That's right. What don't you like about Tom? Well, his hair. Then the lack of it.
There you go.
The fact that he charges for ghost hunts. Because you know now, even though I've said several times that I don't do it, because I've taken the devil's advocate today on that particular topic.
Maybe he does
say,
do it.
Did you hear Tom charges for ghost hunts?
Exactly. Taking things out of context. Exactly. Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Yeah, you have to be careful what you say because people will twist it around.
Exactly.
That's for sure. It's a crazy world.
Oh, my gosh. So, I'm all out of stuff. Should we call an early show or what? You got anything?
I don't We were on a good roll there.
You know, I've got I've been getting approached for a bunch of stuff. I've got October is such a crazy month.
Yeah.
You know, and in the paranormal field, I think it's interesting because I really don't do investigations in October.
Yeah, because of all the other stuff that's going on. And
people ask me, you know, what is the most active time? Is Halloween the most active time? And I'm like, you know, I've never really investigated on Halloween.
That's right, because you got the kids out there.
I got the kids.
Yeah, and we've been getting contact to do a lot of stuff for the month of October, and I know that we've agreed to do a few things. Some things we haven't been able to do, whether it be because of work or we've already committed to another thing. But yeah, October is a very busy month, and but there's a lot of good things that go on during October. You know, the week of Halloween though is probably the worst week to schedule anything, unless haunted house type operation or what have you. But a lot of the other stuff, it's probably a bad time.
I'll probably end up doing the little ghost talk for the Boys and Girls Club again the week of Halloween, and. Uh-huh. I already know of at least three radio stations that we're going to be on.
Wow.
So
local, you talking about regular radio shows?
Yeah, little regular morning shows, you know, playing EVPs and talking ghosts and all that stuff.
Well, let's see if we can get anybody that wants to call in here today. What do you think?
Yeah, anybody? Yeah, sure.
Anybody want to call in and talk to us today? If you do, 765-997-1616, and we'll patch you through and see what you got to say. I'll put that in the chat room as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how everybody else feels about the new groups and the difference between thrill-seeking and paranormal investigation. Because I'm always interested in that, you know, because, like Danielle was saying, but I think we all still are into the thrill part of it. Because if we weren't, we probably wouldn't be doing this.
Oh, and I agree with that 100%. I think that's the initial the thing that people go to right off the bat. They've seen it on TV and they think, oh, this could be cool, you know, let's go give it a shot. So I think it's I agree. I think it's that first initial thrill seeking type thing. All right. Good morning, Greg. You are live on Good Morning Paranormal.
Hi, Greg.
Hey. What's going on? Sorry, I had the speakers going.
No, I don't know if I like the hey thing, because all I think of is Fat Albert next.
Hey, I just really had a question that I needed to have answered. I heard that WPI charges for investigations.
As a matter of fact, we do. $1,000 an hour.
Right on. Can I get in on that?
Sure, man. I'll catch you on the deal.
Always got to be a smarty in the group, don't they?
Oh, man.
Oh.
Have you guys ever had anybody offer you guys cash afterwards?
We have not. I think mostly because, you know, we've got it plastered all over the website that we do everything for free. I mean, you know, we're so bad that everything we put on is usually free. Our meet and greets and everything like that generally is free. If we charge anything for anything we do, like an event type thing, it's usually all going to a particular charity that we have chosen at the time. And a lot of times it's not money, like we did the one up north earlier in the year, and we asked people to bring canned foods, and we give it all to the food bank.
I am actually trying to work on a conference again. I can't believe I actually said that. Because the first one I did was nothing but hell. It was a great time. I loved every minute of it. I got to meet Rosemary Ellen Guy Lee, who's one of my heroes in the paranormal. I got to meet some really great people, but I want to do another one, but I want to do it for free.
Yeah, and you know what? I would give. I bet Danielle would be happy to help you with some of the advertisements and stuff. You know?
I
don't know about that. Did you see how he went after her?
I know.
God.
I know.
I didn't go after her, did I?
No, I'm just giving you.
I thought it was pretty fun, actually. But yeah, I probably did go a little after her, but that's okay. I love getting women riled. I don't know what it is about me, but it's just something fun.
But she's great with the press releases and that sort of thing, which could help.
I got to find a location that's willing to donate their location.
Yeah. And you know what?
Find a location to donate their location.
If you go into them with a charity type thing, you'd be surprised what you can come across.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't mind doing it again, because I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, when's the next conference? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I ever want to do that again, because I lost a lot of hair.
Well, and you tried to do it all yourself last time. That's your first mistake.
Yeah, I did a lot of it on my own.
You've got to get outside assistance. That's the only way you're going to be able to pull anything off. It's too much. It's too much for one person to try to do all that.
It sure was fun.
Was it?
I look back at it now and I say to myself, I did have a good time, and I know I can do it. I know I can organize it.
And that's when you had a full head of hair, right?
Yeah. so that was the learning experience for me.
Well, and there you go. You probably learned a few things that maybe now you'll be able to improve on that will make it not only easier, but better.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the ones is not trying to make it into a money-earning opportunity. Because when I did the first conference, I was trying to make it like a business.
Right.
This isn't anything to do with WPI. I was going to try to make some money doing this.
Right.
And that was my big mistake.
Yeah.
And I learned that right off the bat. Because people who do conferences tell you, you ain't going to make money at this.
No. You might raise some. Now, we've always been able to raise a little bit for whoever we're doing it for.
Yeah, I think that's what I would do.
It's like
the
thing we have going on October 3rd. It's not a conference, but it is an event, and they are charging, I think it's $30. But all of that is going to the establishment. Came to us, the Elwood Opera House. They came to us and said, "Would you put an event on for us?
Yeah,
to raise money for restoration purposes." We said yes. So the money is being charged, but they are providing you with a buffet meal. There are going to be a couple speakers. I know Chris is going to say something, and I think a couple others. And
Chris will say something more than do more than just
yeah,
say something.
You know,
more than just something.
And there's going to be a ghost hunt afterwards. So you are paying $30, but you're getting something in return, and all the money's going to the Opera House for restoration.
Yeah, I'm getting excited. I've been I'm planning a trip to this the National Television and Film Conference in January.
Yep.
I'm going in January. I'm getting pretty excited about this because I'm going to go pitch a TV idea.
Very good.
Or two.
So, Greg, are you playing hooky today? Or, I mean, what's are you home? Are you at work? What you doing?
Yeah, I'm at home, but there's a health deal that is keeping me at home. So.
I see.
That's
not good to hear, but.
It's nothing real serious. It just with the back surgery that I've had, when the weather gets real humid or the pressure goes up or down, and we're expecting storms and stuff today. For the last 2 days, I've had pretty severe muscle spasms from the nerves in my leg, and where I have to park at work is probably a quarter mile from my office, and I'm not walking it. I don't know what he told him. dude, they pulled me back in the office and whatnot, and I told him, I was like, he knows about the leg issue, and I told him, I said, when it gets like this, expect me to work from home. There's just no other way around it, so that's what I'm doing.
All right, yeah. Well, and, at the top of the show, we talked about some of the stuff going on with ASPRN and talked about the new show coming up tomorrow night. And I guess you got as much information or more than anyone else, so why don't you fill us in on what's going to happen with that?
All right, sure. What we got going on is Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 7 Mountain. We have Supernatural Rising with Nicole Leader and Serenity Moore. They're going to come on and talk paranormal and supernatural and psychic mediumships and their projects that they've got going on with Paranormal Crossroads. Their very first guest is going to be John Zaffis, which
is jumping going to be a in very with both cool feet. Show. Yeah.
The godfather of the paranormal.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking real forward to that. And I will be producing the show for him.
Excellent.
From my end. So, it's going to be pretty cool. I'm really excited that we finally got something put together. And like I said, we're going to have Nicole Leader join the crew, and her and Serenity are going to do their thing. I know after that, I believe they're going to have Marcus Leader, and talk about some stuff that they've got coming up with the Paranormal Crossroads and some investigations and stuff that they've got going on.
Right.
So, I'm really excited for them. It's going to be a good deal.
I think it's going to be a great addition to the ASPRN family. And I seen you were going to put it up on Podomatic and stuff, which is great because, as you know, I can't listen to them live, and I am definitely interested in going back and hearing their shows. And especially
I'm gonna miss their first show, but I'll be there next week.
Yeah, but especially since they got John on the first night, I gotta hear that. That'll be good. And
definitely.
And you know, we've also had two other shows that debuted this month alone. We had Miami Town Ghost Radio that is on Wednesday. Well, they'll be on tonight.
8 p.m. Eastern.
Yep, they got their show, and then we had the Starlight Show, who is also on Thursday nights after you. So you got a new show starting tomorrow night that's before you, and a new show that started this month after you on Thursday night. So things are booming and hopping everywhere.
Slowly filling them all up, aren't we?
Oh, they are. And a great contrast of different types of shows. That's what's really cool about it.
Right.
We need to do like an all-night show, like an all-night roundtable.
Yeah, yeah.
Like midnight to 6 a.m. or something. Just because I can imagine within 3 hours how giddy we would all be.
Yeah.
Now, if we did it from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., I might get a little giddy, but being the true night owl that I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be the one awake.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
But no, that'd be cool to have an all night with different show hosts and talking about their shows and just whatever pops up in the middle of the night, you know? More like you said, probably craziness about 3 a.m. You know,
well, I think every roundtable we've done so far has been pretty crazy.
Well, you know, that one, and we haven't done it since, I thought that went real well.
The very first, I thought the first one was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then I did one with Outreach.
Yeah.
Was it last or 2 weeks ago?
How'd that work?
That was fun.
Was it? Yeah, we've been wanting to do it again. It just, everything has been so hectic lately, and trying to get things pinned down and, you know, Serena and them guys, their show starts tomorrow night. I had nothing on the website about it. I'm so far behind on everything with trying to get the kids situated and getting him in school and everything. So now that's done, and so I have the house to myself again during the day. I hope to get things caught back up.
Yeah, my boy starts school next week, so that'll be nice. It'll help a little bit. So did you hear about this? Apparently, you're going to have to get multiple flu shots this year. If you get the flu shot.
I think I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, one normal flu shot and then two for the H1N1.
Right. No, I get multiple shots anyway for being a whole diabetic thing, so.
You know, I don't do the flu shot because one time I did it, I got the flu. And
well, that's typically what happens is they give you a little dose of it to boost your immune system.
And, yeah, as sick as I've been this year, I don't think I want to chance anything. I've had a bad year for colds and stuff. I don't know what's up with that.
I'm getting called Bad Mike. What did I do? What did I do?
Mike, you're bad? Where?
What did I do?
I have no idea.
Kimmy J says, Bad Mike. I must have forgot something. What did I forget? She's not due this month. She's old timer now.
Right. She's old school. But so everyone knows, the Boot Witching Hour on Monday nights at 7:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, followed by PIR Radio with Kurt.
Yeah,
at 9.
And Kimmy has some awesome off the wall guests, I guess, for lack of better terms. So you know, that's the part I was talking about with the contrast of the different shows. You know, Kimmy's got a whole different direction than what the normal paranormal radio talk show is, and that's what makes it so interesting. And same with Star, you know, with hers, she has a whole different concept, and I'm sure that Serenity and Nicole will be in the same boat. So we got all this stuff, you know, going different ways, which is great, broadening the horizon and everything.
Right. And just like you said, it is just such a big wide spectrum of the paranormal going on.
Yeah,
you know, every night of the week anymore, and you know, it's just like right on. You know, it's just great to see that everybody is just kind of doing their thing and putting out the entertainment, and you know, gives me something to do at night besides watch the stupid TV.
And hopefully, in the very, very near future, I'll have some new things to announce that will be taking place at ASPRN. Positive things, I think. So
There we go again, talking about getting rid of me.
Well, you know, I forgot you were here, Tom. Damn.
I see how you are.
I forgot the
music. Just like you said at the start of the show, we talk about Tom in front of him.
The new show on TV, Everybody Hates Tom.
Everybody Hates Tom. Goodbye. And I'm okay with that.
Goodbye, Raymond. I am. Raymond's a has-been.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh,
so I'm doing like a. Oh, go ahead, Gary.
I lost it.
I was just going to say, I'm kind of looking forward to this investigation Friday night. It'll be interesting. The stories I've heard about this house, dark entities, noises, things being moved. But you know, I mean, we interview people and we hear all these things, and then we go and nothing happens.
Yeah.
So right. That's I'm me. Hoping that something does happen.
That's me, the repellent.
You're the repellent.
Yeah, take me to.
I'm beginning to wonder if I don't have that special quality myself.
Take me to the most haunted place known to man, and there will be very quiet that night. Trust me.
Excuse me. Oh.
Well, we're gonna have to cut it back to a half a pack a day, there, Tom.
Yeah, well, no, actually, the coughing's gone down. Surprise, surprise. Oh, it's only August, and it's finally stopped. It usually stops about March. But,
well, it's been a
week. This is interesting. You know, everyone, I've been working from home for almost 3 years. Not really, but maybe had enough colds to count on, like, three fingers the entire time that I've been working from home. I go to work, I get sick, my leg starts messing up. All within the first week.
It's because you're around people.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean...
Or it could be that power of suggestion thing again. You know?
Yeah.
It's not something that you want to do.
You know, the request that I have for anybody that works in a friggin' office is wash your hands after you leave the toilet. You know what I'm saying?
I have a hand sanitizer. When I worked in the office, I had a big jug of hand sanitizer sitting next to my desk. I had a little post-it note on there that says, use it.
Well, I had the hand sanitizer at the desk. I had Clorox wipes until somebody swiped them. And, you know,
they swiped Clorox swipes.
Right. But, you know, I generally wipe everything down and whatnot. Of course, they were on, and yeah. It just makes me mad. It's like, man, come on.
Now you sound like Michael Jackson, you know?
You know? I tell you what, I'm just, you know, as bad as Monk.
Next time you go into the office, Greg, walk in with your little surgical mask on.
Exactly. I think you ought to get one of those hazmat suits and walk in with a hazmat suit.
There you go.
That would be funny. How dirty I think you all are.
Well, you know, seriously, man, I just cannot believe. I mean, it was less than a week, and my throat was sore, and my nose was stopped up. I was just like, man, this is unbelievable.
Well, and your body's going through a change, though, too. You know, you've went from working all night long to getting up when you normally would go to sleep and start working.
That could affect it, too.
Yeah.
So have you guys seen this new show, Warehouse 13?
No.
No.
It's awesome.
I didn't think you watched TV.
I watch some TV, but it's usually on the internet. You know, like after they've been aired. But this new show, Warehouse 13, the concept is that there is this warehouse out in the middle of nowhere that has all these old items that are some sort of paranormal item, you know, like Harry Houdini's diary, Pandora's box, stuff like this. And these two FBI agents, they're CIA, Secret Service agents, are going across the country trying to find these items and collect them. I believe it's on the Sci-Fi Channel. I'm not sure, though.
Huh.
But great show. It's been really, really good. As a matter of fact, once we get off the air, I'll probably watch last night's episode.
Huh. No, I haven't heard of that. I'll check that out.
It's a good show. I mean, it's not a real. It's not like reality show. It's a drama. It's it's a fictional show, but it's still a blast.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, just got some emails.
Uh-oh.
Somebody saying, "Hey, you charge for ghost hunts?"
WPI charges for what? Oh my god!
You guys suck. Join the list of other people that hate me. Go ahead.
We're going to hunt you down.
I ain't scared.
Everybody hates Tom.
Everybody hates Tom. Yeah. Everybody loves Tom. I'm a giant teddy bear for Pete's sake.
Bald teddy bear.
Yeah.
A bald teddy bear. That's kind of scary.
You know, I just have to rub my head.
We got the hefty boys on again today. I'd forgotten about that.
The overweight lovers from ASPRN.
Riding around town on their Praskles.
On our Praskles. And our big bottles of Diet Coke.
There you go. Mine would be the hat, you know, the hard hat with the two bottles on top with the straw coming down.
So that was I was going to mention the other thing, too. There's probably people out there that are fans of the show Heroes.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I've never really watched it. I watched maybe like the first three episodes when it first came out, and it kind of felt like a soap opera to me.
Right.
But I started watching it on Netflix yesterday. Show's actually pretty good.
I've never heard of that one either.
Heroes?
Uh-uh. I was good for season one and two, and then they started into season three, and they lost me.
Is that that military show?
No, it's there's normal people that have superpowers that are discovering their superpowers.
Oh,
like so you're saying season
type?
So season three is pretty bad because I'm only on season one.
Yeah, I just couldn't get into season three. I mean, I felt like they were really, really pulling a stretch on it.
That was me after season one of Lost.
Tom,
right.
Tom.
Oh my God!
You see what Sassy wrote in the chat room, Tom?
No, Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Yeah. You know the scary thing is that one of the guys on my team, Darren, he is a clown, and his clown's name is Fuzzy Wuzzy.
Oh.
Now the interesting thing is that I'm scared to death of clowns. I mean, people are scared of heights. I'm scared of freaking clowns. I see a clown, I will run the other way. I'm that scared of him. And he keeps joking that he's going to dress up as a clown on an investigation. I just don't think it's funny at all.
We'll get to see Tom screaming and running like a little girl.
I will.
We you know what? I would make a donation for that.
Yeah. There you go.
Halloween last year, we're walking along the streets, trick-or-treating, and some guy opens the door, and he's wearing a clown outfit. I'm pushing my baby's stroller and me at full speed away from his driveway. I was that freaked out. Huh. I hate clowns. I don't know why I'm scared to death of clowns. You know, I think it was Poltergeist, but it could have been something else. But you know,
one of the greatest movies ever.
You know, Clarabelle didn't really scare me as much because every time I saw him, all I kept seeing was Rocky Horror Picture Show. So, right. You know, and a transvestite clown really isn't that scary. But yeah, no, it was an awesome show. Yeah.
Now I got an aunt and her kids. They do the clown thing, and they go around to the senior citizens' homes and put on some kind of little skit for them and stuff like that. So clowns don't bother me.
Yeah, someone bought me one of those old porcelain clowns as a joke.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I took it out as target practice. Can't stand clowns. Huh. So,
I really... go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I don't know why that phobia is. Because mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are actually scared of clowns.
There are. You know, I'm surprised at how many there actually are. I guess they are kind of freaky, but I don't know. They never really bothered me.
I think it's the big shoe thing.
I don't know that there's anything that I'm scared of.
You know, I was
of.
Just getting ready to say the same thing.
You know?
You don't have a real phobia?
No, I don't think I do. None that I'm aware of. Maybe it's wife phobia. I don't know. It'd be.
I was going to say, as long as you've been married to Chris,
that'd probably be the only one I could come up with.
Got to say, there's got to be something.
Fear of.
See, now I know Chris is scared to death of bats, right?
Yeah, bats.
Bats and snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take it back. Snakes kind of bother me. I mean, it's not. It's a snake. I'm gonna run away. I just, you know, I leave them alone. They leave me alone, and nobody dies.
Depends on.
That's how I am with snakes.
Depends on the size. Now, I was down when I was stationed in Georgia many years ago. We were down in the swamps, and we were rocking across logs and stuff, doing some kind of army type stuff. I don't remember now. It's been too many years ago. But, you know, you'd see little snakes darting off here and there and little things. And I was walking along this one log, and I looked up, and down at the end was this huge, I mean, huge snake. And he didn't budge. You know, he wasn't scurrying off like a lot of the other ones did. So I seen that. I did a 180, started to walk away, and what do you know? I missed a log, and right down the swamp I went.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, my wife was telling me a story about someone she knows that they had a boa constrictor, and then they had a baby.
Wow.
And the boa constrictor started sleeping underneath the baby's crib and wasn't eating. So the parents took the boa constrictor to the vet, like, we're kind of concerned. And the vet was like, you need to get rid of the snake now. The snake is not eating because it's saving up to eat your baby.
Oh, wow.
That is the reason why I don't think people should have snakes.
Right.
Because they will eat babies.
Wow.
Well, okay? my thing is, I mean, I don't have anything against anybody that wants to own a reptile. I've owned a couple myself. But when you've got something big enough to eat a child or a small dog, or even if you're walking through the swamp and you happen to come across one and it doesn't budge and it's looking at you, I got problems.
Yeah.
It's time to take it out.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. Like I said,
it's time for a 9mm in the head.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to do that, but yeah.
But well, you know, my dad told a hilarious story about in Vietnam. He was actually based in Thailand, and they used to fly in and do bomb runs. He was in the Air Force.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the airplanes were parked in between these cement walls that were hollow inside, and the snakes would actually crawl inside those walls and hibernate or hide inside those walls. And there was such a bad problem with it, the Air Force was offering like $5 a snake. You know, you kill the snake, we'll give you $5 per snake. Some of the MP guys were taking grenades and chucking them inside these walls and killing the snakes to earn the money.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
And he says, you know, you could be on patrol or, you know, checking your plane house, and he goes, boof, 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 you know, and we're not used to getting attacked in Thailand during Vietnam.
Veteran combat pay.
There you go.
Well, you know, there was a, I think it was in South America, there was a story I read a couple months ago. There was a police station, Sierra Leone, I think is where it was actually, that were overrun with 400 plus poisonous snakes.
Wow.
That the law enforcement officers there wouldn't even go to the police station because they couldn't get rid of the snakes.
Holy crap.
Right. So, and you know, there wasn't any kind of crimes reported or whatnot because, you know, nobody would go to the dang police station.
Can you imagine the poor ones? Uh-huh. The one little prisoner sitting in his cell, you know, on the bed.
I know, right?
I can't move. There wouldn't be any crimes either because, you know, if you get arrested, we're going to put you in the police station.
You don't even have to put bars up. Just put the snakes around. Yeah, there you go. That'd work. All right, guys. We
made it.
We are fastly approaching the top of the hour. And it's been a good show today. We've had a lot of good stuff, I think. And
especially that WPI charger, man.
I know. You know.
see what kinda, those bastards. What are they thinking?
trying to fill up Tom's hate mail inbox.
Oh, yeah. I could use some more.
Right. Well,
haven't had any hate mail for
Tom
a while.
Tom at
paranormal.com.
Right. Let's see, Crystal, she goes, Greg, what are you doing? Actually, Crystal, I'm talking on the radio. What are you doing? see, Crystal, if you had come to the show earlier, you would have got the lowdown. So
she's late.
I'm trying to come in the last 5 minutes of the show.
Right. She's late. She does not. She's not authorized any questions.
Exactly.
I bet you she charges people.
You know what?
We'll save that for the next show.
All right.
we'll drag her on and bash her a little bit.
You're going to get hammered.
All right, guys. So I guess we're still not doing the Friday show since Greg feels the need to go to work now.
Well,
you know. So we're just doing Monday and Wednesday right now. which right now is good for me because I am working a lot of overtime, which I desperately need. So it's a good thing, but hopefully down the road we'll resurrect that and get that going some more. And so the next show for Good Morning Paranormal will be Monday with PC and Danielle. Danielle's becoming a regular now, and she does a great job. You know, it's fun having her very strong opinions and stuff, as Tom well knows.
I enjoyed riling her up tonight.
Yeah. She's she does a great job. I'm glad she's participating as much as she does now. So another great addition to everything that we got going on at ASPRN. And like I said, hopefully I'll have some new details on a few things that are going to be happening in a very, very, very near future, hopefully. And when I pin some of that down, I will be sure to let everyone know. I think all is going to be good. And I think that's about all I got for today.
I got to go get ready for a camping trip.
All right.
So, I have to work from home.
Oh, poor guy.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
But appreciate you guys coming and joining us today. And all you out there that are listening, hopefully we give you a little bit of entertainment to get your day started off. And hope you have a great rest of the week and great weekend. And we will be back Monday to try and do it all over again.
See y'all.
So goodbye, everyone.
Have a good one.
You've been listening to Good Morning Paranormal, powered by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And remember, you can hang out here with different show hosts from the ASPRN Network for Good Morning Paranormal every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.